it's been a couple years. You've had, what are you at, 4 albums now?
We have, yeah, 3 studio albums and then a live album from Levitt.
Oh, yeah.
So, yes, 4
That
albums.
Is 4.
Yeah.
I kind of forgot. I was like, 4? Do we?
Right.
Yeah, the live album.
Yeah. And when you started this, Jeff, were you thinking that this would be a permanent thing? Go back to the beginning where you're kind of in the basement playing with each other and saying, oh, that sounds kind of good. This might last. And did you think it would last for 5, 6 years now?
Well, no, and it's sort of even longer because we started as a band called Beard,
right?
Which was the 3 of us, Joe, and Amy's not here today, but and then 2 other people. And we were a band for that for 5 years, and that started where we just were messing around. And then we realized, we kind of like this. It's okay.
Yeah.
And then we switched to Fine Mess after the pandemic, during the pandemic, during COVID. And so we had been a band. We played. We kind of liked each other and knew we wanted to be a band still.
Yeah.
And so, but we had no other plans other than let's just keep going and we're going to change the name. Yeah.
I do feel like COVID changed everything and put everything on a new shelf of what will we be doing 5 years from now?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think any of us knew.
Yeah.
But you're still here 5 years, 6 years from now.
Well, and I will say
2020.
That time for all what's going on for Joe creatively, he just started writing songs, going through the alphabet. So write a song that starts with an A, whatever it was, then starts with a B, then starts with a C. And it was actually, that was a very creative time and we couldn't be in the same place. So he would record some stuff and then I would go down to this theater that we used to practice in that was closed and play some drums and record it and send it. And so we'd sent files that way and you play a little different when you do that, when you're not in person with somebody. And it was a lot of fun because we realized we played something different when we played it separately and put it together than we did if we were just trying to jam out a song. I really liked that.
Yeah.
Musically, I liked that.
So the creative intensity of that, Joe, was you found a way to tap into that in a positive way. Now it's regular life. You have to go out and do your grocery shopping the rest of us. How has that changed for you then creatively in generating new work?
It's a lot harder, right? Yeah. Like just the amount of time to write things, to record things, even to put down a little demo and then send it to Jeff, send it to Amy. It has been, I have a couple apps right on my phone that logs when I recorded something. And if I go back to 2020, 2021, every couple of days, there's like a new song and I'll hit play on it and it'll say like, okay, so capo 2, what you're doing is it's kind of like a C form on the, like I'll be talking to myself because it's like, I just want to get it recorded. And then a couple days later, there'll be a new song. A couple days later, there'll be a new song. Now it'll be a couple months between recording something because we'll have a show or we'll have practice or we'll have work or we'll have grocery shopping and we'll have all those things. And there's not a couple of hours that you can just sit with a guitar and have fun trying to create something. So yeah, it's a lot harder. I wrote more in 2020 than I probably did since then, like 2021 on. Like it was just, there was this creative burst, which I think happened for a lot of people. Like you saw a lot of COVID albums, right? And since then, I think the real world kind of crept back in and it made it a lot harder to be as creative.
And we let him know all the time. We're like, listen, you should be producing a good
Step
song every 3 or 4 days,
right?
I mean, if you're not doing that, what are we doing, you know?
We're so disappointed.
So disappointed, yeah.
But to that point, it's like we were creating our own Decameron, only it's not going to be collected in one place because of the nature of modern society. There's just all these different people who I'm fascinated with it. People are probably tired of hearing me say it, but I'm just not done with the creative work that happened during 2020 and beyond and how that shifted artists' work. Mm-hmm. I think that has a long tail to it, and I'm enjoying watching it play out.
Yeah.
Frankly.
I mean, when you say that, it reminds me of, I thought at that time that I might not ever play music with somebody else again. And that was a big moment just personally for me. And so to have this little, contraption that we set up where we could keep doing it was really, really important for me.
Yeah.
As, I've I don't remember a time when I wasn't playing some music, and that was really scary, that part of it, to maybe not have to do that again.
Yeah. I was reading an interview that you did with John Bakken in Tiger Meat, and you were talking about being a kid with a drum set in your basement and how people would just come to you because you had the drum set. So
right.
To your point, since adolescence, you were setting up the drum kit.
And I'm not a person that's going to go make friends really easily and talk to people. And so that was great for me as a shy kid to have this drum set where, you know, I didn't have to say, hey, you want to go hang out? They were like, you have a drum set? We're going to come to your house and hang out. I'm like, okay, cool. That's great.
I can handle that.
Yeah.
Buy your kids drum sets if they're if they need help making friends.
Yeah, that's right.
Or not. I guess it depends on. Joe, how did you get started in music? Like, early on?
It's funny because we were actually talking about this on the drive up that we have Amy, the bass player. Her daughter has been playing a lot of guitar lately, Hazel, right? And we've both heard it. And I don't think she's in a band. I don't think there's anything motivating it. Nobody's telling her she has to. And she's just playing a lot. And it's really impressive, right, to hear that. And there's a passion there. And that's what happened to me. My folks bought me a guitar when I was very young. And I almost immediately wanted to write songs. And I found a lifelong friend, Andy, who we started, he was kind of the same way. He got a guitar and we started writing music immediately where we're like, I don't want to learn other people's music. Let's write our own. And so around like maybe 13, 14 years old, we both were learning. We both were writing music and we were playing shows within a year of original music, which probably was terrible at the time, but it was just, there was something so fun about being with a friend and creating things that didn't exist before and seeing people's response to it. And I've been lucky enough where I always say that I've always been in bands or if I'm playing solo that does original music. And to be older now, for 30 years, I've been able to play plenty of shows, probably hundreds of shows over those 30 years of all original music. And it's, there is a rush that you get playing original music for people and seeing the response from people, having that like connection with them has been pretty incredible. So yeah, I've been doing it for a very long time with a lot of different people. And it's been lucky that I found a couple people in a small
very
town like Vermilion. For me, right? Because, but it's been very lucky that for like a decade to find people to play with that you just gel so incredibly well with. I've been lucky with that since I was 12.
Do you recall lyrically what kinds of themes and stories you were attracted to in 13, 14? Like, what did you have to say then?
Yeah, so I do. And it's very, you know, the angsty kind of stuff. I remember the very first song that Andy and I wrote together. We had, I even know how to play it. It was like two chords.
Let's hear it.
Oh, it's pretty bad.
Okay.
But it was, I remember it was things like, my friend came over just the other day to tell me what was on his mind. He was looking for some kind of answer. I told him there's none to find. You know, where it was like, it had to, of course, be somewhat sing-songy and rhymy because that's what I thought a song was.
But I'm not mad at that.
Right.
Right?
And that's...
That self-reflection, that's pretty good.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we did. And then there were songs about... a lot of it was just being a teenager and being like, I don't know what's going on. I'm confused by all of this. That was what a lot of the songs were. And then love songs, you know, we'd fall in and out of love with somebody and be like, we actually, Andy and I released an album, made like three copies of it, but it was called Woman of the Year. And it was just, it was a bunch of thinly veiled love songs to a couple of young women. But yeah, no, it's same kind of stuff that everybody's writing, I think, when they're teenagers.
I think what you said, I don't think everybody's writing that. Well, to say that I know that I'm feeling weird as a teenager and I know that this is something and I want to talk about it, that's actually kind of weird to me. I certainly was not going to write those lyrics as a 13-year-old.
I know that the answers I'm looking for don't exist.
Yeah.
And I know how that makes me feel. Woo, it's heavy stuff. Talk a little bit about Amy and her bass playing, and just because I love listening to her. And, you know, she's not here with us, and last time she wasn't here with us, so we got to have our Amy segment.
Yeah.
Because she's pretty remarkable. We can't go without. What does she bring to the group with the bass and vocals and just as a band member that you think is essential?
I mean, we were just talking about Amy's daughter.
Hazel,
just kind of
yeah.
Hazel playing guitar.
Great name, by the way.
It's a great name. Mm-hmm. And I went over there and Hazel was playing guitar, and she was just sitting in their house with a guitar and started playing. I thought, okay, what are you working on? She started playing Blackbird perfectly. That's not an easy thing to play.
Yeah.
I bring that up in regards to Amy because Amy's family is extremely musical, and she just kind of has that, brings that with her. All of her siblings seem like they play an instrument. All of her kids have played an instrument. So I think what she brings is just musicality. You know, it's just kind of, it's not a particular skill in a sense that it's like, oh, great at the slap bass or something like that. But it's just listening to other people playing what the song needs, which is a very difficult thing to do. And I think she can do it well because she's been around music for a long time.
Yeah.
And I think to me, that's what a good musician will do, is just kind of play for the song.
So you mentioned the process before of, you know, you're writing something and Joe, and then dropping it off at somebody's porch and listening to it, and you're laying down a track, and then Amy's laying down a track. What's the process now for a new song?
Well, I mean, it's back to, not the process is Joe will bring a song, and then he'll play it, and Amy and I will try to make something up. We do it live together. And because Joe is so prolific, we actually, if it doesn't feel good right off the bat within a, you know, one or two plays, we just kind of say, okay, there'll be something else, you know? Yeah. And so we just don't really think too hard about it.
Okay.
And, you know, I think...
But you're making up your own parts.
Yes.
I think,
absolutely.
Yeah, for people who don't know your work, you know, he's writing the song, but then you're saying, well, here's what I'm going to bring to it.
Yes, I think that, yeah. I think that is confusing sometimes for people, because Joe is definitely the songwriter, I would not take kindly to him telling me what to play on the drums. but some people do want to do that when you work with other musicians. Some people are like, hey, we need you to play exactly this right here. And the
it
fill
sounds
needs
like
to be this
in my head. Yeah,
it's mm-hmm. in your head. And so, and that, you know, I've tried to write songs before and bring them to a group, and I have the whole thing in my head. And man, is it hard to say like, oh, you're interpreting it totally different, and just let that go. But that's how we process. That's how Joe and the rest of us write, is you just kind of figure out what you want to feel on the instrument. And then they'll work out often some harmonies in a song. Amy's doing, like, does a lot of backup singing and harmonies with Joe. And so they work that out together. But that's all just kind of nothing is ever forced. And that's actually quite rare in a creative process, I feel like.
Yeah. All right. So you started out with Those Flowers That Fixed Me in 2021. Everyone's Family Is Okay in 2022. And then, how do you say the 2024 album name?
Iterick.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I would have said, but I didn't want to get it wrong. So Iterick in 2024 and 2025, Love It at the Falls, live recording.
Yeah.
You know, so now you have a catalog and you have a fan base. And how do you think that your music has evolved or changed? What are you hearing when you listen back to what you were doing early on? We know some of it's thematic because of the time that you started this particular group, but what else?
You want me to take that one?
Yeah, I haven't really thought about that.
Yeah, I haven't either. I mean, the evolution of it, I think, as we get more comfortable with one another, it is, I think, like, I'll go back to the talking about Amy. Like, I do think Amy genuinely is the best bass player, like, in South Dakota, right? Mostly because when I bring a song, I have no idea.
Sorry, John Bakken.
Yeah, but John is a cellist. John Bakken is just an incredible musician, right? Amy, as far as like just working with me, right? Like working with her, she is exactly what I would need from a bass player, because like I'm a rhythm guitarist. Like I'm not a lead guitarist. And so I need someone who can hear like, what are the chords? And I can tell her, and sometimes I don't even know. I'll be like, it's a C, but it's capoed at 3. So I'm not sure what that is. And so for her to just be like, yeah, I know what that is. You can just, you know, tell me. and then have her kind of create these melodic lines on top of it that is what a lead guitarist would normally do. Mm. Like Amy is never just sitting there plucking the root notes. Or if she is, it's because that's what the song needs for that little bit. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's this thing where it is giving the, it's expanding on what the simple song is. Because I'm writing everything on an acoustic guitar and I'm not a lead guitar, so it's relatively simple. And so I think the evolution is, as we've gotten more comfortable with one another, we know that there are going to be spaces where Amy is filling up the space that needs to be, like, that's maybe a little bit too bland. And then there's going to be other spots where Jeff is going to be like, well, this is my spot to do this. Like, yeah. I'm going to be the person that creates the segue between this and this, right? And to have that, I think if you go back to Flowers, the songs are very, you know, verse, chorus, verse, we come in together, it goes, it, you know, goes to the chorus together. Like, it's all very much like it has to be structured this way. And I think by the time we're at Iterick, there's a lot of like we're playing different things, or we're doing, people are kind of rising above the rest of it just for a second and then coming back into the fold. And we're not, it's just more interesting, I think, the mm-hmm. way that the songs are structured, the way that they start, the way that they end, the different movements within it. And that's just because we're getting more comfortable with each other as yeah, it's yeah. gone on.
Yeah. What would if you add to that, sense. Jeff?
I don't know.
It makes sense. I would say, I always liken music to a conversation. So when you're talking to somebody, when you first meet, there's a lot of like, they're saying this, what am I going to say? You're thinking about things, at least I am. And then, but when you really know somebody, you know, you can drive on the road for an hour and not really say that much. It's fine. Yeah. And then you're comfortable with all of that. So you get comfortable, I think, as you learn with the other musicians. The hardest thing to do is to be silent or to not play something or to not feel like you've got to fill the void. And I think that is a big difference. Probably between the albums, going from Flowers to what we have now, is just comfort with, if we feel like we want to play something, we play it. And if we don't, we don't. And it's okay. You know,
yeah,
you don't
yeah.
have to fill everything up.
I like that. Tell me about Iterick as a title.
It actually stands for, I think it's run its course. That was the name of the album. And that was just a flippant thing I said about something at one point. Mm-hmm. And we're like, oh, that's a good album name. And then we just abbreviated it to Iterick.
I like
and
it.
Then didn't explain it. So just a hard to pronounce word right now.
Yeah. No, I like it because I'm going to remember it now.
Okay, yeah.
All right. You got some shows coming up. Big one on April 10th at the Orpheum in yes. Sioux Falls, which I looked at tickets today and they're already in scarce supply. So if you're interested in that, get your tickets.
Yes.
Or at least that's what the website said.
They should be, because why wouldn't they be?
Right. Yes, right. They're
standing room
only. I mean, we are super excited about that. Yes. And about that show, it's us, and we're playing a full show at the Orpheum, and it's the Live and Local series here in Sioux Falls. And we have Amy Phil, an artist that's going to I don't know if the word is decorate. I don't know if artists want to say
created
decorate.
a stage
thing that like
set.
Yes.
Almost.
An installation.
There you
installation.
Go. Thank you.
Amy Phil is yes. doing Thank an installation. Oh, yes. Shout out to Amy Phil. Oh,
that's right.
We're going to try to get her
Amy
to do
Phil
something.
Amy Phil does not decorate.
No.
Yes. Thank
Amy
you.
Amy Phil no. installs.
Installs and mesmerizes.
Yes. yes.
All right.
And
can
captivates.
We go back and delete decorate?
Just like, yeah.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
That's amazing.
And we'll have performances also by with Move to Heal. Who
oh,
are
wonderful.
Creating dances with some of our songs, and then we will also have a full children's choir come and sing. So we're it's not just us. You get a lot of stuff that goes
it's an
on.
Experience.
And it's an experience.
Well, Live and Local is a great, for people who don't know about Live and Local, that is a great experience. And I find that people just bring layers and layers and layers of artistry to that, and they get their friends together, and it turns out to be a really special night.
Yeah. Well, and the hope is, I mean, looking back at, because I think this might be the third year of the Live and Local series.
I'm not sure. Yeah.
And obviously, people want to be a part of it. Like, it's a great series. And so, our hope is, I'm not sure, we might be the first ones from Vermilion who have been a part of it. I think they get so many submissions that there's been a lot of, like, Sioux Falls performers, because there's a lot of brilliant artists in the area. And so we're kind of hoping that, like, let's have a good show. Let's put everything into it that we can so that they say, hey, Vermilion can do this. So we're hoping to really put something on, and we're hoping that it's a good showing for the crowd so that they're like, maybe we'll bring up some more Vermilion artists because there's a lot of great artists down there as well.
Yeah, or maybe we'll head down to Vermilion to see the shows there. Yep.
There we go.
Also.
Absolutely.
All right. What do you want to play for us today?
This is this isn't on an album yet. This isn't even on the live. This will be on whatever album comes out in probably 2027. It'll take us a while to record it. But yeah, it's Sunshine. Called Sunshine.
Fast, weighed down by gravity. I know that you're ready to go, and we won't last among the fallen leaves. I know that you're feeling low. Chased by all we've lost, and we go on alone, and like sunshine on my face, feels good with my eyes closed. It ain't even that hard to let you go. I've got to though. This won't last because of the disease. I know it's good as it's gonna get. And we wear our hearts on our sleeves. How easily we forget. By all we've lost, we go on alone, and like sunshine on my face, feels good with my eyes closed. It ain't even that hard to let you go. I've got to.
Made me cry. Or, made me really listen to the lyrics first time through. You're like, oh, this is a you know, happy, peppy little song there. And then you go back through it the second time.
Yeah.
And it hits.
That has always been, like, I think actually going back to when I was, you know, 12 or 13, that was always the thing where I was like, I love making something that if you tune out and you're just kind of listening to the lyrics and the sounds, whatever, you can enjoy that. And then when you go back and listen to it, it's hopefully something that hits you, you know, you can connect with.
Yeah. You want to do one more?
Yeah.
We forgot to mention we have a show also on February 20th, Friday, February 20th, which is Madison Area Arts Council in Madison. So that's one of our favorite places to play in the state. They do a fantastic job.
Yes.
And so we're super excited about that as well. Mm-hmm. April 10th at the Orpheum, and then coming up soon, February 20th, Friday, in Madison.
All right. We will put links up on our website.
Thank you.
To all of that as well.
Thank you. All right, well, this one's Ghosts. It's a little bit louder.
Okay.
I mean, we won't play it louder here, but if you come to the Orpheum, you're going to hear, like, this is, we're doing a lot with this one.
I suggested we play this, and Joe was like, really?
Like, you want to play
it's
Ghosts?
It's kind of a rocker. So I actually have no idea how this is going to go.
Yeah, this might
it's
be.
The Tiny Desk version of
Yes,
Ghosts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of Tiny Desk.
Yeah.
We were terrible this year, and it just didn't work. And so I did one on the last night. I quickly recorded one. I was hoping to see more South Dakota musicians because at the time that I was submitting, there weren't any South Dakota. Luckily, a couple have popped up, which is nice to see. But I challenged all of the – there's a songwriters group down in Vermilion. And I'm like, next year you guys are submitting for Tiny Desk. Like, it's a fantastic thing. I want to see more people involved with that.
I went out to NPR and saw one recorded.
Yeah.
In the Washington, D.C. and Coco Jones was there that day.
That'd be awesome.
And so I got to stand in there and watch how it works. It is awesome.
Yeah.
It was exciting. Yeah.
That would be, yeah. That'd be awesome. Yeah. All right, so Ghosts.
Yeah, let's try this out.
Don't believe in ghosts. I said, you're just confused. When I said, the thing haunting me the most will be the memories with you, and now they do. And everything feels different, but the truth. Don't believe in ghosts. I said, it's just the name. We give the thing hurting us the most, the thing we want to change but cannot change. 'Cause everything feels different but the name. Still find in our bed the scent of you. And I don't mind what's in my head, it gets me through. You said you don't believe in ghosts. I said, you're just confused. When I said the thing haunting me the most will be the memories with you, and now they do. 'Cause everything feels different but the truth. Still find in our bed the scent of you. And I don't mind what's in my head, it gets me through. You said you don't believe in ghosts. 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 You said you don't believe in ghosts.
Thank you.